My subject, as I've said, is individual covenants. I want to say that the 17th and 18th century saints making godliness, these covenants disappeared. This morning, perhaps rekindle what was once a good vehicle of promoting Christian virtue or Christian living and Christian character. And that's the reason I said I would not restrict myself to this text. I want to glean the scriptures as they are found in the old and in the new. So this, therefore, is an important subject today for all that are believers. Firstly, I want you to notice the definition of the individual covenant or covenants. I want you to notice the definition. We are told in verse 1, I have made a covenant. That is Job. He says, I've made a covenant with my eyes. Why should I look upon a young woman? I want you to note firstly the negative, what it does not mean, what individual covenants does not mean. Firstly, is that it does not mean biblical covenants. We are not talking about those individual biblical divine covenants as stated in God's words, starting from Abraham all the way to our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, in the new covenant. So we are not talking about Abrahamic covenant, Noahic covenant, Mosaic covenant, Davidic covenant. That's not what we are talking about. Second, we are not talking about, in this covenant, meriting salvation. This covenant, the individual covenant, does not deliver salvation. Neither will it end anyone eternal life. We are talking about members who are, we are talking about the parties to this covenant who are already members. Members in the covenant of grace. Members who are already received freely the merits of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. But thirdly, in trying to understand these individual covenants, we are not, God is not here covenanting. In this covenant, it is not God covenanting. It is not God promising to bless His people when they perform certain stipulations. It is not God here saying that neither that He will freely bless, as we see it in the new covenant, without condition or work. It is not God covenanting. But what are we talking about as we seek to understand these individual covenants? Well, I tried to gather together a definition. Because covenant definitions are vast and severally defined, but I thought this would deliver what we are seeking to appreciate. The individual covenant is a personal covenant. It is a personal covenant where a believer promises, a believer pledges, a believer commits and resolves. It is a personal covenant of a believer vowing to God to perform holy duty or to refrain from sin, not just in action, but in the heart. And that is what we see in Job's case, isn't it? When he says that, I have made a covenant with my eyes. It is in the, that I should not look at the woman to lust, as it were. If you see his the text in verse 7, he says, if my step has stained from my way, or my heart walked after my eyes.
Reformed conference meeting Tuesday. We begin now. Apologies, we started a few minutes late. Our program will run from about 09:30 to 11:30. Our presenter is Pastor Kasango Kayombo, and he will take the presentation first after we have finished the singing. And then after he has presented, we'll have a question and answer session. So I'm calling upon you, the viewers out there from wherever you are, to send in your questions as he's presenting through the various online platforms that we have. There's a Zoom link which you can check and find, and then there's YouTube and WhatsApp. So when you present your questions, they'll be forwarded to the presenter so that he takes the questions while we are together. So please, I feel very welcome, and it is my sincere hope and prayer that the Lord will be with us as we go through this seminar. Our call to worship is taken from Psalm 8. Psalm 8, and I'll read three verses, 1-3. O Lord, our God, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babies and infants, you have established strength because of your foes to steal the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have put in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? Ah, what a glorious psalm, brethren. Our Lord is so great. Our Lord is so majestic in all his ways. And when you look at what he has done, and what he has prepared for us, yours is simply but to marvel. Indeed, even as we go through the seminar that we have on individual covenants, our hope and trust is that we'll be strengthened, we'll be blessed, and we'll be built up as a church across the nation and even across the globe with those that are watching with us from various places. I will ask that we sing hymn number 437, 437 from Grace Hymns.
Father,
Thank you very much. Indeed, I will sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. How he left the reins of glory for the cross on Calvary. Yes, I will sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with his saints in glory, gathered by the crystal sea. We'll now turn to the Lord in a word of prayer. But before that, I think I should quickly make an announcement on the Zoom link. The Zoom link is found at the Lusaka Baptist Church website, lusakabaptistchurch.org. Click on the conference info and you'll find the details there. Then you'll be able to join with us. Let us pray. Our gracious and eternal God, we give you thanks and praise for your goodness. How majestic is your name, O great Jehovah. We pray that eternal God, even as the Reformed Conference is going on, O Lord, throughout this week, you'll be so gracious, O Lord, as to magnify your name in our midst. Oh, may your glory, O Lord, be with us. Our prayer is that everything that will be done in accordance with your word, O Lord. Meet with us, for we know that without you, O Lord, our meeting will be but in vain. So we plead with you, O God, be with us and be that gracious, O Lord, as to speak to your people. O Master, speak, for your servants are ready to receive that which you've prepared for them. O glorious Master, we want to pray for the presenter of the seminar this morning, Pastor Kayombo. We pray that you be with him, O Lord. We pray that you grant him clarity of speech. We will grant him a mind, O Lord, that will be fixed on you, that as he brings forth your words, your children will benefit from it. We pray also for the listeners, O God. We know that the mode in which we're using, O Lord, sometimes can have distractions. And yet we want to plead with you, O Lord. Arrest each and everyone's attention, that our mind and hearts may be fixed on you, O Sovereign God. We pray that you continue being with us as we continue worshiping you, because we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll now sing our handover hymn, Oh, What Amazing Words of Grace. That is from 363 in Grace Hymns. Oh, what amazing words of grace.
Oh, what amazing words of grace are in the world.
Now that the old has gone and the new has come, but I want to state thirdly, the occasion of making these personal covenants can be when we are sinned against. One of the difficult things that I find is the way we forgive one another. Or is a way we fail to forgive one another. That need growth. And that is an occasion when somebody has sinned. It could be your spouse who has trespassed against you as a wife or as a husband.
In forgiveness, you are merely saying, I promise, not I feel. I promise, I will not remember your sin any longer. That's the language of Jeremiah. Debt, we are told in that parable, debt is cancelled. That's what forgiveness is. I have cancelled your debt. You will not account it. I will not make you to account for it any longer. Neither will I think about it in my mind when I see you. I will try and struggle to tear those thoughts. Neither will I repeat it when I find clouds or friends. You know, I have forgiven that person. That's not forgiveness. That is not a promise that you have pledged. Forgiveness is an occasion of making this person a vow. Lord, I will not bring this matter again. Because it's done with me and that person. I have forgiven them. That's a wonderful occasion. But let me state further. There can be an occasion to make those personal covenants. You remember that foolish promise and pledge that was made by King Herod? It was at the occasion of a birthday that he says to the, I'll do anything you ask to Herodian. It can be at that occasion. As we sit with friends, or as your birthday comes in your mind, as you're thinking the glory, the sanctification and service of God, it can be an occasion on any marriage or death. It can be on those occasions of struggle that you formulate, or on those occasions of failure of service. Well, lastly, let me give few illustrations of those personal covenants. Illustrations of those personal covenants. I hope I've done enough. We have seen the example of Job, a good example of personal covenants. We have seen the bad example of Jephthah. But we can add an example of Joshua, who says that he has made this pledge for him and his family. They will serve God. They will serve God. I want to picture, it is on the Lord's day. He has pledged, for me and my family will serve God. He says perhaps to his family, this is the Lord's day, and all of us must go for worship. And it comes in the evening, he says, this is the Lord's day. I've made this covenant with myself. All of us must be at the evening service. This is a church program that we have made and committed ourselves to. Let's worship the Lord on Thursday, or is it on Wednesday? But we also see David. When David says to himself, there is no way that I'm going to live in a house when the Lord has no house. And I want to read this quickly in Psalm 132. I read from verse 1. Lord, he says, remember David and all his afflictions, how he swore to the Lord and vowed to the Almighty One of Jacob,
Surely, David says, I will not go into the chamber of my house or go up to the comfort of my beds. I will not give sleep to my eyes, nor slumber to my eyelids until I find a place for the Lord, a dwelling place for the mighty one of Jacob. That is a great example. When the church or the building of where God's people assemble lies in ruin, we may tell ourselves, I will make sure that we erect a temple for God. And I will do everything. We see an example of Hannah, who gives the son for the service of God. And this was a pattern, as I come to a close, this was a pattern of the 16th and 17th and 18th century saints. One of the men who made a covenant was a man called William Williams. At the death of his wife, he makes a covenant. Well, let me hurry and bring this to a conclusion. Well, my conclusion, as I've sought to explain what this special covenant is, the reason for making it, the formulation of this covenant, some of the occasions that we can utilize in formulating this covenant, some of the illustrations, I want to conclude by saying these words, that my bringing this subject to you is meant to encourage us that this is a vehicle. This is a means by which we can be transformed in the likeness of our Savior Jesus Christ. This is a means by which we can serve God. And it was my hope that when you make any covenant, any personal covenant, that failure must not discourage you. Failure must not make you to say, look, this doesn't work. It works. Our sanctification is in conjunction with God's word, in conjunction with the Spirit of God, in conjunction with God the Father. Our sanctification is in conjunction with our own conversion. Those are powerful resources that God has deposited in us. A non-Christian cannot pursue what I'm talking about. That huge resource of God turning you to Himself, of changing your appetites, your thoughts and attitudes, is meant for you to endure when you have made a covenant. And you must remember, it is a commitment to God. This is serious business. I hope that this will rekindle the practice of making personal or individual covenants. Amen.